Let's just pray together. Father, we ask that you will hear us as we come before you, looking back over this past year and thanking you for your faithfulness and looking forward into this new year, knowing that if we follow you and walk with you day by day, we will know your hope, your presence, and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this great song of Mary, I think we're confronted, first of all, with a question. Where does your confidence lie as you stand on the brink of a new year? As Mary has reminded us in our prayers, we live in uncertain times. As we face the many uncertainties for the future of the United Kingdom, there are many people keen to offer their own two pennyworth of wisdom on the right way forward for the country. Then there is the rising tide of violence in our society and how to reduce it. The scourge of homelessness in our cities and even in the countryside is causing increasing unease. The growing alarm over the effects of climate change, even if one American doesn't believe in it, and the stark threat to future generations is ever before us. What is the world coming to is the question often being asked with ever greater urgency. And into this uncertainty come the decisions we have to make in our own personal lives as the new year arrives. So where does your confidence lie on the brink of the new year? We can do nothing better than to see where did Mary's confidence lie that first Christmas. It was focused upon the God in whom she placed her complete trust. She was very aware of her modest background, referring to herself as a humble servant. And yet in this great song, she places her trust completely in the Lord who has chosen her to be the mother of his son. As we look more closely at what she says and what she sings, we're aware of her grasp of Old Testament scriptures and how she describes the God and Father of Jesus Christ. And we need to learn from her example. Bishop Ryle, who was Bishop of Liverpool at the end of the last century, the beginning of this, said of the Bible, and this may be a motto for us for this coming year, study it, search into it, dig into it, meditate on it, until Christ lives within us richly. She begins by speaking from the depth of her being, my soul. She glorifies the Lord, which meant she was overwhelmed by his sheer greatness as opposed to her own weakness. And that's where we need to start. In 2019, whether we're a prime minister or an ordinary person like ourselves. Not with ourselves or our human resources, but with our great God in whose sovereign hands our lives are placed. Humility like Mary's is in short supply in our culture. but it should be the hallmark of us as Christians, making them stand out in sharp contrast to human pride and confidence that seems to drive the world today. Let's look more closely at what Mary has to say about God. She acknowledges him as the one who is the Savior. Like us, she knew she was a sinner in need of a Savior. As the years passed, she came to realize that Jesus, her son, was that very person. So that it's interesting to see that this whole song is written in the past tense. Jesus has come. That makes sense. All these things are going to happen. As the years passed, she came to realize that Jesus, her son, was that very person. Remember, when the disciples were absent at the crucifixion of Jesus, she was among a small company of women at the foot of the cross. She watched Jesus die in order to be the Savior of the world. Then she goes on to worship the Mighty One. Is that how we describe the God we worship here today? Is that the way he will be proclaimed in every church today? J.B. Phillips was so right to challenge us all when he wrote, "Your God is too small." As we face this new year with our mighty God, we face him then with confidence. How does Mary know he is mighty? She answers the question herself. He has done great things for me. Which should be our response as we end this year and maybe look back further than to see how he has been at work in us. None of us would be here worshiping and praising him if Jesus, our Savior, had not been born to Mary. We need to sound the note of praise that he has made it possible for us to be forgiven sinners and to know him to be with us moment by moment through his Spirit in us. Do I hear someone say, "It was all right for Mary, but look at the problems I'm facing, which will still be with me in 2019. Wait a moment. What did Mary have to face? The squalor of the stable, the anxiety and fear for the safety of her son as a little babe, the horror of his death on the cross which she witnessed. Yet in all that she had to suffer, she could still see what great things God had done for her. Someone has written, "If our hearts are in the right place, we should never find it difficult to praise God. He is the same mighty one today, risen from the dead and living within those who, like Mary, have placed their trust in him." She goes on to speak of him not only as the mighty one, but the Holy One. When Mary says, "Holy is his name," she means his whole character, not just the name by which he is called. What he has accomplished through Mary is perfect and pure, a virgin birth, without which Jesus could never have been the Savior on whom the prophet Isaiah says, "The Lord laid the sin of us all." None of that without the virgin birth. Just as Mary described herself as a servant, so her son was the suffering servant. So by definition, each of us is a servant. She goes on, a mighty one, a holy one, a merciful one. Mercy and fear don't sit easily together in our modern world. But we need to grasp the meaning of fear here. Mary knew her need of the Lord's mercy and forgiveness. And she was full of awe as she stood in the presence of a mighty and a holy God. This is no craven terror, but true worship and obedience as she acknowledged him as Lord. But more wonderful still is the fact that this mercy of God has been passed on, as Mary recognized, from generation to generation, right down to the end of 2018 on the 30th of December and beyond. So are we included. Does that not make us want to bow down in worship and awe this day to a God who loves us like that? Begin every morning with a deep conviction that we are debtors to God. And then we have that climax to the song, where the values and the priorities of people who never consider God and consider themselves to be the center of the universe comes a complete reversal of priorities. The proud, who think they are somebody's deep down in their imagination, will be scattered. The rulers are to be brought down from their thrones. This has already happened in the past. Remember Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Caesar, Hitler, Stalin. Watch out for the future and the ultimate downfall of the originator of evil, Satan himself. The rich sent empty away. Think today of those who see the pursuit of money as the be-all and end-all of life. I'm reading the latest novel of Kate Morton. If any of you have come across her, you will know what I mean. She's a great writer, Australian, and I'd recommend her to you. But one of the characters in the novel, called Leonard, she says, Leonard despised money. That is, he despised the quest to possess it. By contrast, the humble are lifted up. The hungry filled. Those physically hungry. Those yearning for spiritual food. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. How hard that is to put into practice. She finishes this great song remembering God's greatest promise to Abraham. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. That includes us. Even as he said to our fathers, When Jesus was born, Mary believed that promise had finally been fulfilled. We learn from Mary the need to hold on to Bible promises, which bring us great strength and peace. Do you know there is a great reward in reading a promise word by word throughout a day? Let me give you some examples. From the King James Version, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." Try saying that throughout a day. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Take that one, clause by clause, through a day. Unlike the promises we both make and break, we, like Mary, will find God keeps his word and will always fulfill what he has promised in his own time. I love this phrase from Bishop Ryle about the promises of God. "They will bear all the weight we can put on them." As we leave 2018 behind and venture into 2019, we can do no better than to follow the example of this great song in which Mary praises God for his divine power, for his holiness, for his mercy, for his faithfulness. Make no mistake, if you're a Christian today, we do not enter the new year alone. Maybe you consider your faith to be a bit jaded today. Not perhaps having that joy that you once had. Take comfort from this, that you don't go into that year alone. And if you're not a Christian, or you've never could say, "I know the Lord myself personally," like Mary did, enter this new year with him. Take up his promises, believe them. Our times are in the hands of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whatever men may threaten. There is no greater friend and companion to share our lives with. Whatever this year brings, this new year, in joy or in pain or in suffering, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Amen.